Amen. Amen. Well, internet was wanting to mess up a little bit, but praise the Lord, we're on and going. It's good to see everyone. I hope we've got some coming on to join us. If you've got a hymn book with you, let's turn over to page number 377. 377, Rescue the Perishing. I'm thankful for all those that have been praying about Faith Promise Missions. It truly is God's heart and God's desire. Anything, of course, that's going to be done for the Lord needs to be done in faith. And Faith Promise Missions is God's way. And thankful that we have a part and that we have the opportunity to reach souls through missions. And God's given the church the commission. God's given the church the charge that we're to go out and we're to spread the gospel. And there's many that are perishing around us. Thousands die a day. And so I encourage you to be in prayer about Faith Promise Missions, not just about the act of giving, but the act of praying, and then even the act of doing. And so God's got a desire to see His work done through the church. And so let's sing Rescue the Perishing, 377. If you're willing and able, let's stand. Good old Fanny Crosby song, Rescue the Perishing. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. Weep for the erring one, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus the mighty to save. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, Jesus is merciful. Jesus will save. Though they are slighting Him, still He is waiting, waiting the penitent child to receive. Plead with them earnestly, plead with them gently. He will forgive if they only believe. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Down in the human heart, crushed by the tempter, feelings lie buried that grace can restore. Touched by a loving heart, wakened by kindness, cords that are broken will vibrate once more. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. On the last, rescue the perishing, duty demands it, strength for thy labor the Lord will provide. Back to the narrow way, patiently win them, till the poor wanderer a Savior has died. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Amen. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank You for this day. Thank You, Lord, for Your gospel, Lord, that it didn't just come to save me, but came to save all mankind. And Lord, it truly is good news, even in 2020. And Lord, I pray that You would help us to understand the loss that are around us. And Father, I pray as well that You would just encourage us tonight through Your Word. Father, help us to be mindful of Your desire in our lives. And Lord, I just give You the praise and glory for it. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. You may be seated. Take your hymn books, turn over to page number 448. 448, Brethren, we have met to worship. 448. Amen. Brethren, we have met to worship. I hope that you came here. I know you're going to say, Preacher, I'm not here. I'm not physically at the church, and that's fine. I truly believe that the Spirit of God will allow us to worship as a group. We are all coming out. It's called out assembly, even if we aren't all in the same place right now. We've all called at this time to come and worship together. So I encourage you to come to worship Him. 448. Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. Will you pray with all your power? power while we try to preach the word. All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. Brethren, pray, and holy manna will be showered all around. Brethren, see poor sinners round you, slumbering on the brink of woe. Death is coming, hell is moving. Can you bear to let them go? See our fathers and our mothers and our children sinking down. Brethren, pray, and holy manna will be showered all around. Sisters, will you join and help us? Moses' sister aided him. Will you help the trembling mourners who are struggling hard with sin? Tell them all about the Savior. Tell them that He will be found. Sisters, pray, and holy manna will be showered all around. On the last, let us love our God supremely. Let us love each other too. Let us love and pray for sinners till our God makes all things new. Then He'll call us home to heaven. At His table we'll sit down. Christ will gird Himself and serve us with sweet manna all around. Amen. 328. This is I Want That Mountain. 328. We've been practicing this for a little while. I hope it's getting fresh to you. I do have the music here. We'll sing along with it just so that you can hear the tune of it, because it is fairly fresh to us. Not a lot know it, so we've sang it a while, but yet still one of those songs. Amen. Here we go. I saw the giant of prayerlessness upon the mountain high. He laughed so hard at my unbended knee. No longer in the wilderness I'll stay, and so I cry. I want that mountain, it belongs to me. I want that mountain, I want that mountain, where the milk and honey flow, where the grapes of best will grow. I want that mountain, I want that mountain, the mountain that my Lord has given me. There was a giant of laziness who said I wouldn't go, and witness for the one who set me free. I'll come from out the wilderness, I'll witness now I know. I want that mountain, it belongs to me. I want that mountain, I want that mountain, where the milk and honey flow, where the grapes of best will grow. I want that mountain, I want that mountain, the mountain that my Lord has given me. On the third, one faithless giant upon the crest of Hebron's lofty height has vowed that he's the one to make me flee. I'll climb from out the wilderness and trust Jehovah's might. I want that mountain, it belongs to me. I want that mountain, I want that mountain, where the milk and honey flow, where the grapes of best will grow. I want that mountain, I want that mountain, the mountain that my Lord has given me. On the last, Let every giant of distress and unbelief and sin get ready now to vacate, for you see, I've come from out the wilderness. I know I'm going to win. I want that mountain. It belongs to me. I want that mountain. I want that mountain. Where the milk and honey flow, where the grapes of Escrow grow, I want that mountain. I want that mountain, the mountain that my Lord has given me. Amen. Amen. I want that mountain. I like that song. I know some of you kind of laugh and chuckle, but I like that song. I think it's a great song, and I'm excited what the Lord has in store as we learn a few new songs. And you know, I look at those as part of our arsenal. I know that the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God, and I know that. But I'm telling you, it's good to have a song in your heart. And you want to talk about the molly grubs, and you get down and discouraged. And sometimes you don't have a scripture that comes to mind, but I'm telling you, there's been some times in my life God will just put a song in my heart. And it was the children of Israel that had hung their harps on the willows when they were taken into captivity, and they said that they didn't want to have to sing a song, because how are they going to sing a song in captivity? But I'm thankful as a child of God, I'm free. I'm no longer in captivity, and God's put a song in my heart, and we're able to sing. And so there might be some times this week where you need to just cry out and say, I want that mountain, and just get to singing and just get to rejoicing in the fact that we have victory over sin, hell, and the grave. Amen. And so I encourage you to go ahead and learn some new hymns, if you would. They say that they're old, but if you haven't ever learned them, they're still new. Amen. All right, take your Bible tonight. Let's turn over to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. This is the passage where we were reading this morning. I am going to add an extra verse in here, and we're really going to preach most of what I'm not going to read, but I'm just reading this so that we have it back in context, back in our memory, and understand what all is going on. And then I'm going to expound on the next verses as we go. And so 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, if you're willing and able, let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Verse number 1, it says, Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. Verse 5, And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord, and unto us by the will of God. Notice verse 6, Insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun. Notice verse 6, I'm messing it up, let's look at that again. Insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you, notice this, the same grace also. Therefore, in verse number 7, as ye abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, and in knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank you. Father, I rejoice in how you work and how you move. And Lord, I'm so thankful that I don't have to be an anybody to be a somebody for you. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us tonight in understanding that it's all from you. Lord, it's grace. It's not favor that we've earned. It's not anything that we sure haven't deserved it. Lord, we can't work for it. We can't build up for it. We can't save for it. But instead, Lord, it's just bestowed from you to us. And Lord, I want to abound in this grace also. Lord, would you help us tonight as we study your word and really see the intricate detail of faith promise missions. And Lord, that there's a reason for it.
and the purpose of it. And Lord, this grace and what this grace is going to do through us and with us and well, Lord, even for us. And Lord, I pray that You might touch us tonight. Lord, help us to really know what You desire this next year as we think about Faith Promise Missions. Lord, I'm excited. I know that this has been a missions conference like none other. And Lord, and I don't say that to my boast because it's not because of me, but Lord, it's because of You. It's been over a month long and we've focused on missions. And Lord, truly, we could go another month and focus nothing but on missions. And another month, and another month, and so on. And Lord, I don't know that we've really ever focused enough on missions. Your whole desire, Your whole earthly ministry was nothing but a mission trip. Lord, Your desire is to see souls saved. That's missions. Father, help us tonight to love souls like You do. Help us tonight to love You like we should. And Lord, I just ask You to touch me. Lord, let me be Your mouthpiece to Your glory and Your honor. Not to lift me, not to... Lord, hide me behind the cross of Calvary. Don't even let me be seen. Instead, Lord, let Your truth be proclaimed in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. We come to this passage of Scripture again because as we had looked this morning and we've seen the church that God uses, I want to show you how God does it. But really, what it's for. It's not just in the fact that it's grace, but I want to show you what that grace does and what that grace proves and what that grace is showing us. Because we have that grace and that we need to apply that grace, it does absolutely no good. I remember when the boys were younger, and of course Jeremiah is still at that age, I hated to buy them ice cream cones. You say, "Preacher, you didn't like to get them ice cream?" No, that's not what I said. I hated to get them ice cream cones. I didn't mind getting them ice cream at all. And if I got an ice cream cone for them, we needed a bowl with it and a spoon. And you say, "Preacher, why is that?" Well, because you'd give them that ice cream cone and they would sit there. And it's not that they wouldn't lick it and try to get the ice cream to go down, but they didn't lick it fast enough and it would just end up running and it was just a mess. And you say, "Well, what's that have to do with Faith Promise Missions?" It's just like the grace that God's given us. May I tell you, so many times we make a mess of it. So many times God's given it and we just kind of look at it and we see that it's getting ready to run down our hand and we don't even know what to do with it. So often we make an excuse why we can't do more for the Lord. But Faith Promise Missions really takes that excuse away. You see, it's not because of us. If we ever wanted anything from the Lord, if we ever wanted to be used of the Lord, and boy, you know, there's those that I want to be a great preacher and I want to be a great encourager and I want to be a great all of these things, but how many times have we thought about God wants us to just be a great giver? And you say, "Preacher, I don't have any more to give." No, I'm talking about Faith Promise giving. He's desiring for us to have the gift of giving, and we make excuses. I've heard the excuses of if I had it, I'd give it. And you know what I found? Truth be said, if they don't give what they don't have, they're not going to give when they do have. I find as well that we make excuses. I give all I can afford, and the truth of it is we give what's comfortable. I look, and we've seen this morning that this was a church that was in deep poverty, a great trial of affliction. And yet they had reached down, and they wanted to be a blessing to others, and they continued to give. No, God gave through them. I don't know how it worked. I can't explain it. But I can't explain Faith Promise Missions either. I can't explain how God has someone walk up and give you something for Him. Out of the blue, you didn't even know Him, and He does it. I can't explain it how you can get a check as a refund from a hospital a year after a surgery was done because it was right on time when it was needed to be given for Faith Promise. Because that's God and that's how He works. It's not about what I can afford. It's about me abounding in this grace also. I look and I find In verse number 1, he says, "We do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia." And I preached just a little bit this morning on this, or this thought, in the idea that God gave them grace. God had bestowed this upon them. And the Apostle Paul, through the Holy Spirit, is telling them, "Look, I want you to know about this grace. There's something you're missing out, and I'm telling you, there's something that a lot of self-professing Christians are missing out on. Now, listen, I'm thankful I'm saved by grace, but then I find a greater grace that comes as well." You see, I hate to say that grace is all-encompassing, but salvation is just a very small part of the grace of God. He's all-sufficient because His grace is all-sufficient because His grace covers everything. It's not just for salvation. It's for everything that we have in life. And the Apostle Paul says, "Look, I want you to know this grace." And he goes on down and he's talking in verse number 6, and he's talking about this grace that had already begun. He's, of course, he's speaking here to the church of Corinth. And he says, "Insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun," and he had already begun this work, and he had already told them, and he had already encouraged them, "so he would also finish in you the same grace also." That Titus had already known this grace. He knew how great God was. He knew what God was capable of. And honestly, I say that as the fact that we know what God can do. I don't know that we really believe what God can do. Because God still amazes all of us. And he's speaking here and he says that, "I want, as you're abounding in all these things and all this that you've accomplished and everything that's been done," in verse number 7 he says, "see that ye abound in this grace also." What grace is it? It's the grace of Faith Promise Missions. He says, I want you to abound in this too. Look, that deep poverty, or that poverty that they had, and that power that it wasn't relying on them, it was relying on Him. That prayer that they had that, "Look, I might look like I need it, but I want you to take this and be an encouragement to others." That passion that they had, that they wanted to live in a life that was surrendered to the Lord. Surrendered to Him to serve Him. And so I'd like us to look at the grace today and perfect this grace. Notice, if you would, what happens with this grace. We find in verse number 8, it's the proof of our sincerity. The proof of our sincerity. And the Bible tells us in verse number 8 of 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, he says, "I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of others. Of your love." Now I want to chase something real quick. In verse number 8 where he says, "I speak not by commandment but by occasion," he's not speaking about the fact that the Holy Spirit didn't give him this. He's not saying that this little section right here, like it should be some parenthetical statement, that this isn't really from the Holy Spirit, that this isn't the Word of God, this little section here. No, that's not at all what he's saying. He's saying, "Look, I can't make it a law. Faith Promise Missions isn't a law. Faith Promise Missions has to come from the heart. I've told you before, I'm not a preacher that preaches about money. I'm not a preacher that preaches about that you've got to give and we've got to have more coming from and pass the plate around. I've never taken up an offering, and I know that there's some that have and some that do, and I'm not condemning, I'm not condoning. I'm just telling you, I don't believe I need to. I look and I find that they'll pass the plate, and then they look and they say, well, that's not enough, and pass it again, and boy, we've got to get more money, and I'm going to pass it over to your sister. I know she has all the money, and so I'm going to pass it over here to her, and she hasn't put enough in. Notice this. All right, so I'm going to pass it again and see if I can get her to put some more in, and then we'll count it up. No, 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 no. That's not faith promise. That's not at all what he's saying. But what he is saying, and what I've always said, that if God has your heart, He has all of you. You see, this grace, and if you've truly abounded in it, it's going to prove your sincerity. It's going to show your love for the Savior. It's going to show your love for the Savior. Now, I want you to hold your place in the book of 2 Corinthians. And I want you to turn over to the book of 1 John chapter 3. I've got us turning to several places, so bear with me. But 1 John chapter number 3, I want you to look at verse number 18. 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 18. 1 John chapter number 3 and verse number 18. He says, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before Him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things." I bring us to this place because I'm afraid that there's many that don't really love Him that say that they love Him. In fact, and I know you're going to say, "Preacher, you're preaching about people." No, I'm just telling you of some experiences that I've had. And I've went and I've witnessed, and boy, I mean, just the profanity that comes out of their mouth. And I'm one of those preachers that I usually don't tell someone I'm a preacher until after I've already done business with them. You see, I don't want someone to give me special treatment because I'm a preacher. I don't want them to do it in the name of Jesus thinking that they're going to get an extra token or an extra blessing because they've done something to help me. No. I don't want I know there's plenty out there that say that, well, if I can get a blessing from someone, I don't want to ride on the coattail of Christ in order to get a blessing from this world. But anyway, I would come up to them, and we'd do the business that needs to be taken care of, and then I begin to witness to them, and I might even tell them that I'm a preacher, and then all of a sudden you find out how much they love the Lord, and how much they just worship Him and trust Him, and they'd join in chorus here, "Brethren, we have met to worship," and you know that they're lying. You see, He says, let's not love in word. Let's not just love by the tongue. Let's love by truth and by deed. Let's do this in the right way. Let's truly love. And God says here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8 and verse number 8, He says, "Prove the sincerity of your love." You have a love of money? Then you won't worry about faith promise missions. Because you'll never have enough. You'll never be satisfied. Have you ever noticed that the Congress, it's amazing to me. Now, I don't know that we're really in the point in America, and I'm not saying that if they sent me another stimulus check that I'm sending it away. I'll tithe off of it, and I'll give to missions off of it, and I'll do what I'm supposed to do off of it, and praise the Lord for it. But, you know, it's funny to me. They're talking about how bad America is and how much they're in need, unemployment. And I know that those are real needs. Unemployment's high, and we've got this going on, and they're needing the PPP, Triple P for the small businesses, the PPP plan. And then they're talking about the stimulus checks for the American people because it stimulates the economy. If they give us the money, we go out and spend it because America doesn't save. And so it's saying that it would be good. Now, they've negotiated this since May and haven't been able to come up with an agreement. But the moment that their paycheck was about to be jeopardized, they all came together and said, "Let's get together," and they could come up with that in a day. You see, it's the love of money that's the root of all evil. It's not about having money that's evil. I look as well. If your barns and being full are your love, then, my dear friend, you'll never worry about faith promise missions. You say, "Preacher, what are you getting at?" Well, I'm reminded of Exodus chapter number 20 and verse 20. Moses said unto the people, "Fear not, for God is come to prove you, and that His fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not." May I tell you, we have faith promise missions not so that I can preach about money, but so that God can prove your love for Him. Do you have the same heart that God has? Do you really have a love for Him? Could it be recorded? I think about the greatest compliment in Scripture, and I know some would say, "Well, you know, preacher, it's because Abraham was called a friend of God. It's because Moses was known as the servant of God." I think the greatest compliment that was ever given in Scripture could be David as being recorded as a man
after God's own heart. David truly loved the Lord. Now, I'm not saying that David didn't fail, just the same as every one of us failed. But David loved the Lord. You say, preacher, how do you know that? In Psalm 26 and verse number 2, the psalmist David penned down, "Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart." Would that be our cry tonight? Would we say, "Lord, I want to abound in this grace also. I want this grace. I want to know more about this grace of faith promise missions. And you giving this to me that I can give it back to you." And boy, then God just continues to multiply, continues to grow. And it's fruit that's laid to our account. I look as well and I find that it's proof of our sincerity. He said there in verse number 8, it's to prove the sincerity of your love. Well, it's the love of your Savior, but then it's also the love for souls. I want you to hold your place once again in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and I want you to look over at Romans chapter number 1. Romans 1, and look at verse number 14. Romans chapter number 1, and verse number 14. In Romans 1 and verse number 14, the Bible says, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therewith is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, and it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now, I look at this and I find verse number 14 where he says that I'm debtor both to the Greek and to the Jew. I'm debtor. You know what I've found? Is that there's a whole lot of people out there that say that they're a child of God, that say that they love Him, that don't love souls like He does. The Apostle Paul says, look, I'm a debtor. I'm in debt to win souls. I've been bought, I've been paid, and now my debt that I owe is to go out and see souls saved. But I'm afraid that we live in a Dave Ramsey world, and I'm not preaching against Dave Ramsey. I think it's great to be financially free and to be debt-free, but I'm afraid that we're debt-free in the wrong places. We're in debt to this world, and we're debt-free to Christ. We're in debt to the things that appeal to the flesh, but we're debt-free to the souls that are around us perishing. You know how sad it is that we need a little bit of time to wake up and see how precious a soul really is. To understand that if we don't tell them, who will? And so I look as well. And I find that knowing the grace of faith promise missions, it'll prove the sincerity of our love in verse number 8. But then I find as well that it's the performance of our statement. It's the performance of our statement. Knowing faith promise, or the grace of faith promise missions, it will become the performance of our statement. May I tell you how many people say stuff and they only say it because the rest are around to hear it? They only say it because it's going to be what the crowd says or what the crowd agrees with. You know, it bothers me, and maybe it's because we're in that election year and you just hear plenty of election garbage going on right now. And it bothers me that they only tell you what they think you want to hear. And may I tell you that there's many out there today that say what they think that other Christians should say. And so I look here at verse number 9 through 11. I find the performance of our statement. Look at verse number 9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago,
Now, therefore, perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. And so I find here in this performance of our statement, how often there's a distraction from doing. There's a distraction from doing. Aren't you glad that Jesus had a follow through? Aren't you glad that God came down in the flesh and He went all the way to Calvary and He never stopped? And then when He got to Calvary and He had died for our sins and they had buried Him in the grave, may I tell you that the only time that man had ever carried Him was when they had brought Him down off the cross and they carried Him into the tomb and they sealed the tomb. They had to carry Him because He was 100% dead. And then He didn't finish then. He wasn't done. You say, "Preacher, I thought that it was all done at Calvary." Oh, it was as soon as that tomb was open. And He took that payment to heaven. And He shed His blood. And then He put it in the place where it was necessary to be put. Oh, I'm telling you, it didn't need to satisfy this world. It was a debt that was to be satisfied of God. I'm thankful that it was the wrath of God that was to be appeased. It was the wrath of God that we were reconciled from. It was the wrath of God that He had paid for. And He's our example. I'm glad that He had some follow through. Gives us that example in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, in verse number 9. But then I look and I think about 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verse 21. He says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in His steps." Are we distracted in today's world of really performing what we said we were going to perform? You remember when we got saved and how excited we were? And boy, we're going to live for Him. We're going to sell out and nothing's going to distract me. And I'm not trying to be rude here because I'm just as bad. But how many times does our spiritual ADHD get a hold of us? And we're going this way, and all of a sudden, squirrel, and we start looking the other direction. You see, Philippians chapter number 2 and verse number 5 says, "Let this mind be also in you, which was in Christ." We're to have the mind of Christ. You know what that mind is? It's to perform what we said we were going to do. I know. You say, "Preacher, I thought that it was Faith Promise Missions. It's not about what I'm to do." Well, it's not. God's going to provide, but how many times do we see what He provides and we actually don't look at it as He's providing it? And we go and we use it for something else. We go and we place it somewhere else. We have different priorities now. We've got different needs now. Instead of having faith. May I tell you that if Faith Promise Missions is ever going to work, if we're ever going to have that grace to abound in us, it's going to require faith from now until the end. It's not just the fact that I need it so that I can write it down, so that I can say, "Lord, I've prayed about it and this is what You've told me," and then I go on. No, you're going to need faith the entire year. And I wonder how many times we get distracted. We start off with good intentions. I look at verse number 11 here. It tells us, "Now therefore, perform the doing of it." He says that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. He said, a year ago you started to look at this. A year ago you were going to take up an offering. A year ago you was going to get going. And you've never gone anywhere. Sounds like a whole lot of New Year's resolutions, doesn't it? Boy, we're going to start off, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, and January the 3rd, forget it. It's done. I'm done with that. In James chapter number 4 and verse number 17, the Bible says, "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is sin."
so I'd ask you, are you willing to abound in this grace also, that you may perform the statement that you had vowed? I've only been pastor, next month will be 14 years here. And I know that to some that seems like a lot, to others that seems like just a short amount of time, and I don't really know where I stand. I guess I'm somewhere in the middle. But I can't tell you how many times someone's came and they've vowed a vow to the Lord. And they like to tell me, and I tell them, don't tell me. Give it to the church. Let them know what you've just done. And boy, I'll bring them up here and let them tell how they're... I'm going to give my life back to the Lord. But you know what's amazing to me? We get out of here at 12:30, prayers at 5:30, 4 hours later, they're nowhere to be found. I'm not being judgmental. I'm just being honest. I'm not trying to be mean about this and critical about this. But how many times do we say that we're going to do something for the Lord and we don't? I'm just as guilty. Every one of us have a time where we say, Lord, we have those special moments in prayer. Lord, I need you to move. I need you to show. I need you. And God steps up and God shows out. And then we step back. Knowing the grace of faith promise missions will allow this grace to abound that we can perform the statement that we vowed. Notice as well, I look in verses 12 through 15, and I find that knowing this faith promised missions, or the grace of this faith promised missions, allows the participation of all the saved. Notice, if you would, in verse number 12, the Bible says, "For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. For I mean not that other men be eased and ye burdened, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. As it is written, he that had gathered much had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack." I'd like to explain this to you in the fact that we find in verse number 12 that it's not about what you have. All can participate in faith promise missions. This grace is given to all that are saved. It doesn't matter how old, it doesn't matter how young, it doesn't matter how rich, it doesn't matter how poor. God's grace is still sufficient for faith promise missions giving and the participation of it. And the only one that holds God back from doing is us. And so I look here and I find in verse number 12, it's using what God's blessed us with. I've heard preachers get up and say that, you know, if God's put some astronomical amount in your mind, then go. And I get it. I get it. We limit Him in faith. But may I tell you what God's going to do? God's going to move in such a way. He's already blessed us. I just told you a moment ago that so often we look at God's blessed us and we're going to use it over here. But is the first place of blessing where He said it was supposed to be? You see, I had mentioned Wednesday night that in October of last year, we were going to go buy a trailer, and I had even prayed. I'd left the church here in the morning, and I had even prayed. I said, "Lord, if my truck won't make it, I need You to show me. I need You to show me." I knew that there were some things that was kind of questionable, and I wanted to make sure it was safe enough to go. And I said, "Lord, if it's not going to make it, I need You to show me what's going to mess up." And boy, He did. He showed me. I had an alternator go out, and this I'm talking about on my way to the house from here, 2 miles down the road. And I got to the house,
and my radiator was leaking. And in those radiators, they have a plastic cap. They're not where you can re-core that style of radiator. And you're talking several hundred dollars worth of a radiator. It's a big old radiator, four-core radiator. I mean, it's a monster. It's a heavy-duty truck. And that was leaking. I was like, oh, not good. Then, as I went home, my alternator light was flickering. I'm like, I need to check that. I got home and put my voltmeter on there and checked the voltage coming out of my alternator, and I barely had 10 volts. I was like, oh, not good. And so, I think I ended up getting a serpentine belt at the same time. Seen some things that needed done, and so we got it. See, I was going to pay the full amount. I looked for a coupon, and I found a coupon. I think I had given the report, and I got it wrote down in my Bible, $125 off or $150 off. And some would say, well, preacher, that's $150 that I can use somewhere else. No, hold on. That was $150 that God just gave me so that I could give to Faith Promise Missions. I was already going to spend the $400 and some that it was because I needed the parts. I didn't even bat an eye. I know you're going to say, preacher, you got that kind of money? No. But I knew that I needed those. It wasn't like I could go, well, hey, I think I can go and travel 4 hours down the road and not have a radiator. No, I knew I needed it. But God gave me the money. And I know you're going to say, well, preacher, I just think that He gave it so that I could waste it somewhere else. So that the parts store didn't get it? No, He gave it to me so that I'd give that to Him. See, He didn't have me pay full price over there. I was going to pay full price. Oh, I can go and tell you accounts. I remember several years ago, we got $2 in the mail. In fact, when we first started this, 2015, during our missions conference, I went and I don't know if you open junk mail. I do now, but I usually didn't. And I don't remember, I think it was a DirecTV ad, and I opened it up, and inside was $2. I was like, boy, praise the Lord, that's Faith Promise Missions. You ever have junk mail give it? I'd never had junk mail give me $2. I believe that God gave that $2 to me. I remember there were some times where we had needs, that God would meet those needs. What are you saying? It doesn't matter what you have to participate. So often we look at what we don't have and say, Lord, I just don't have that. I can't do that. But instead, it's God's already given. God's already been faithful. And anyone can participate no matter what age. It's what you have. It's not what you don't have. Quit counting about what you don't have. Count what you do have. Now, when you do that, don't limit the one that you have. You see, because the one that I have isn't my checking account. The one that I have isn't my 401k. The one that I have is right here. And so I look, and I find as well that it's not socialism. In no way, shape, or form does your preacher believe that the Bible teaches socialism. We find here, in verse number 13, this is what it means. For I mean not that other men be eased and ye burdened. You see, that's socialism. Socialism means that everyone, let's just equal it out, you don't have to do anything and you'll get the same that everyone else that does something gets. That's not socialism. And so we find here in verse number 14, he says, but by an equality. You see, this is the problem that America really don't want. They say that they want equality, but they don't. They don't really want equality. That now, at this time, your abundance. Now, may I remind you about this church? They were in deep poverty. A great trial of affliction. What was their abundance? Joy. We could look on over across the page in 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. And we could look at verse number 6 through 8. And really, we could look at verses 6 and 7. It says, but this I say, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart.
so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. May I tell you that they had an abundance of joy that led to their abounding liberality. That fountain, if you would. It was an equality that came. You see, it was a time there that there was a need. And they could take what they had an abundance of. You say, "Preacher, I thought they didn't have any." Listen to me. God blessed them for their faithfulness to Him. And He gave. It's just like this little church. I told you the other night, we don't have a bunch of highfalutin professionals. We don't have doctors and lawyers and senators and congressmen and everyone in here. But we have a big God. And He says, "Look, I'm going to take and I'm going to bless you and I'm going to allow you to distribute this to the others that need it, not so that you can be burdened and they can be eased, but instead so that when you have a need, it'll be taken care of." You know why? My God equals everything out. I told you before that God takes care of us. And that's His desire. I was talking with Brother Scooter today after the service, and they had planted 6 cabbages. Now, brother, I'm not trying to give away your cabbages, all right? But I just want to show you this picture. I was talking with him, and I had told him that we had planted cabbage as well. And we planted a whole lot more than that. But I'm telling you that if the only cabbage he has is his 6 that survives, and all of those that I planted, and I only get 1 of them, guess what? There's a need for someone else to have it. I can't give it. I might have planted 50, but if I only have 1 that survive, I can't do that. But if someone else has a need, there's someone else that has the ability. You understand what I'm saying? It's not about the fact that you don't hoe a row. It's about the fact that we share what we have. You see, everyone can participate in that. It's not that you sit down and do nothing and expect everyone else to cater to your needs. But instead, it's the fact that when your crop fails, there's someone else there that has a crop that's successful, and they're able to share that with you. Kind of goes back to what we've been learning in the Garden of Grace. You see, God has grace for this time. There's those that are in need. I can't help but still think about our missionaries that we were listening to this morning and how God's using these men in their own country. May I tell you that America's struggling. America's hurting. America's lost. We have the truth. We do have missionaries that are in foreign fields. We have missionaries that are here at home. And we're here at home. May I tell you that it's going to take the participation of all the saved. If you know this grace of Faith Promise Missions, you'll be excited to participate in Faith Promise Missions. Let's pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank You for this day. Thank You, Lord, for Your grace that You give us. Lord, we get to be a part of seeing souls saved that we don't even know. Lord, I can't help but think of these that are in India, in Egypt, Lord. Father, we've never, ever, ever met them. And yet, as we give to them, and they go and they do Your work, they're really taking us along with them. And that's fruit that's laid to our account. Lord, it's not so that we can brag about it or be boastful. Instead, Lord, it's so that we can brag about You and how You've given us this grace that may abound also. Lord, help us tonight to know the grace of Faith Promise Missions giving. That we would apply that grace that You've given us, Lord. That we wouldn't have that ice cream cone in our hand, watching the ice cream melt and run down our hands. Instead, Lord, we would just go ahead and apply it and start using it to Your glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen. I want to thank everyone for tuning in with us. We'll be back in-house Wednesday night. 7 o'clock, of course, we'll be live on YouTube as well. And then Sunday morning, 11 o'clock, we'll be live and in-house. And love to have you join us. Appreciate you all visiting with us tonight online. And pray for you to have a safe week. We'll see you Wednesday.